Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right. Well, hey, it's time for the word, and which is interesting because I worked really hard to try to get you a Thanksgiving message. I don't have one. But Julie just gave it because the one thing I kept looking at is the word thanks. So here's your Thanksgiving message. The word thanks in the New Testament is charis, which actually has the root word, comes out of grace. And when you are understanding of thankfulness, it always comes back to, like Julie said, it always comes back to the cross. So the Old Testament didn't have the cross, so it said to be thankful and rejoice. But in the New Testament, they had the cross. So if they were to give thanks, they were always to look back at the cross first. And so for us in our lives, sometimes it's hard. It's like there's things going on and we have to learn to go, okay, I'm gonna give thanks. It says give thanks in all things. Why? Because you look back to the cross. Because in the worst of times, you still have the cross, amen? You following me? I'm trying to give you a Thanksgiving message here. It's very short before I get into the other message. And so we are grateful for the cross and for all that God does. My son at one point had a friend come over, and I'm trying to remember where she was from, Iraq or Iran. And I think it was Iraq. Don't remember either, eh? It's interesting, you know, our lives are so simple. You know, this gentleman getting out of a country, burying himself and breathing out of a straw. Like, think about that for a minute. And this person that my son had over at one point, they're talking. I was asking her some of her history, and she says, oh, yeah, our house caught on fire. I'm like, oh, that's pretty serious. How'd your house catch on fire? Oh, because of the bomb that hit our neighbor's house. What? And they were smuggled out of the country to get out of the country. So when we give thanks today, when you are around, whether you already had Thanksgiving and you're just gonna give thanks today or tomorrow, thank God for the country we live in. Even though it's got things that are messed up, I'm thankful that my house is not gonna catch fire because of the bomb dropping on my neighbor's house. Thank you, Lord. Amen? That's not my message today, but that is still good. I wanted to give you, I tried to sit down and put together a Thanksgiving message, but something kept going through my mind that I heard on Friday getting ready for the men's ministry. And I don't think I'm gonna take too long to give this, but I feel like it's for us, it's for us as a house. It's for each of us as individuals. It's for myself. I'm preaching to myself. So I really want you to take note. I believe this is a God thing because I really tried. I tried to avoid it. And like late last night, I'm still trying to, even in the morning I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to do a Thanksgiving message. And I could not get this off my mind. And it came from a story of a gentleman. It was on a podcast and they were just talking about their man camp. They had this man camp and I didn't know anything about it, but they had purchased land a while back in Ohio, and it was great land for what they were doing. But they knew that they needed more land down the road, and about 5 years ago, or maybe during COVID, I think it was during COVID, so probably 4 years ago, the adjacent land to the land that they had already purchased came up for sale. And the gentleman that runs this thing, he said, you know, he knew in his heart that he probably should buy this land. It was 1.6 million, I believe, 1.6 million. And he said he just didn't have it in him. He couldn't muster up the ability to try to go after, because you know, 1.6 million, you don't just carry around that as a pastor in your back pocket. He knew he would have to fundraise. So although he saw the land and knew it was time, he said, I couldn't get it in me to do it. And then he said this, he was just talking to the guys, they were telling the history of the camp that was coming up. And he said, it is dangerous to wait when you know God's calling you. He said, waiting can be costly. Because he said, somebody bought that land and then it came back up this past year for them to buy it again. And they knew at that point, he knew he missed it and he knew he had to buy it. So when he went to buy it, it was 1.6 million. 4 years later, it was 5.8 million for the same piece of property that he knew he was supposed to buy. Waiting can be costly. I almost had that, not even close to that, but yesterday I had not closed my pool yet. I'm so glad I took the time yesterday to close the pool, because how many know we went to bed and it's a very different day today. It's like fall has arrived. And I wouldn't be closing that thing. So although I waited and procrastinated, I felt like there was grace last night and yesterday I could get the pool closed. But how many have ever experienced where you waited and it was costly? So we could start with the small things, right? So you want to go out to dinner. You know you should make a reservation. Your spouse is telling you, have you made a reservation? I'll get to it. We got to go to that restaurant. It's our favorite restaurant. You wait. You make the call. There's no room. Now that's simple, right? That's a simple thing. I was thinking of different examples. The shy guy that doesn't, you know, he knows this girl, man. He feels like he's to marry this girl, and he waits to go and have coffee. And by the time he finally gets enough courage, they've moved on because they were tired of waiting. That can be costly, right? What about that little pain in your side that you just put off, and your spouse says you should go to the doctor? Nah, it's fine. And then you finally go to the doctor 3 years later, and what was a small thing has now become a big thing. That's costly. I feel like we're in an hour right now. And I think for every person here, this is really a time individually and corporately to be going, what do I need to be looking at right now that maybe I'm putting off and delaying that if I wait, it could be costly? I think we actually have an incredible moment before us. 50 men on a Friday night, although ribs, you should have seen it, ladies. You wouldn't have liked to have seen it. I put as many napkins on the table as I could, and they were gone because men were like diving into the ribs, and we didn't have utensils, no utensils. And John was at my table. John, like, I was like getting John's stuff on my face, like he was just devouring the ribs, and it was awesome. But I thought 50 men that are ready to go, it's time. It's time. All right, turn to your Bibles. And while you're turning your Bibles, I want a couple things I didn't know, but turn with me to Numbers 14. Interesting enough, I know a lot about sometimes American Thanksgiving. I was curious about our Thanksgiving. Did you know that Canada was the first to have Thanksgiving? By 60 years. I didn't know that. News to me. It wasn't established, but in 1578, I didn't write down who it was, that one of the explorers came, and they were grateful for the new found land. So where did they land? Newfoundland. So they actually had their first celebration to be thankful for making it to their new found land in Canada. Pretty awesome. Many years later, it began to be something that had to do with grateful for the harvest. And every time there was a harvest, they began to do a meal to celebrate the harvest. So I want to put those two together. I feel like if we wait right now in the season that we're in, it will be costly. But if we don't wait, and we take a hold of what God is doing, and you may be like, well, I've seen it more excited in here and all that. Don't look it with your eyes. Look what God wants to do, because if we grab a hold of it, see, the thing is that by next Thanksgiving, wouldn't you like to be thankful for the harvest that's coming? Right? Okay, we're not talking about the farms. We're talking about people. It says the fields are white unto harvest. How many know that God wants to see people get saved and their life transformed? And so I feel like we're entering this newfound land. So there's a celebration happening of going, look what God's doing. Interesting enough, the Prince of Wales, there was another time that they had a celebration. It became like a Thanksgiving because he had an illness and he recovered from it. So they had a Thanksgiving meal for that. I'd never heard of that. Well, I'm grateful, and this sounds weird, but I'm grateful we made it through COVID. And I'm not talking about because of sickness. I'm talking about because of all the things that happened during COVID. There are a lot of churches that closed. So I'm like, okay, so we can have a Thanksgiving meal because we made it through the illness, literally and figuratively. We have entered a new season so we can have a Thanksgiving meal, but I want to move into a Thanksgiving meal because of the harvest. Amen. All right? Okay, did you turn to Numbers 14? No, we're going to go back to 13. I'm one chapter too far. Now, this is a story of how costly it can be to wait. I don't know if there's a better story in the Bible than going through and Moses taking the people out of the promised land. I want to read starting at verse 1. And then the Lord spoke to Moses. Who's speaking? Is it Moses coming up with this idea? No, it's the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. So this is the Lord saying, listen, I'm telling you, go send some people out. They're going to end up sending 12 spies out to go look at the land that I am giving you. That's awesome. Like, there should be courage that comes up with this. There should be, we can do this, right? It says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, of every one a leader among them. And then he lists all of them. And then verse 17 says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. There was a harvest going on. And he wasn't telling them just, you know, like, hey, if they're strong, if they have big fortresses, then we're not going to go. He's just like, just bring back the report so we know what we're going to face. And in Moses' mind, he's like, no, we know this is our land. So we continue, verse 21. So they went and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, goes on. Let's go to verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and they said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they're literally showing the harvest fruit. They said the grapes were like grapefruit. The grapes were like grapefruit. They're like, it truly is the land that we're talking about. And I think this is where we get caught up, right? The word, nevertheless. I had this in my notes and I thought, did I just come up with that? Or I had to research it. So this is actually what the word nevertheless means. It means to cease, to end. Nevertheless actually means death. So they're describing how great this is going to be. And then they go, nevertheless. So literally they go, what we just said, everything's about to die with what we just said. Nevertheless, we continue on. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell there in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, or an evil report. of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And I always love this. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. That's what my notes. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. Long story short, you guys know how this goes. They were supposed to go, it's supposed to take literally a couple days, literally, to walk into the territory that they were called to take, that God said you were to take. But because they waited, you want to talk about costly? How long did they wait for? 40 years, because they were afraid. Now, this is the chance for you guys to tell me some stuff. What do you think it cost them to wait 40 years? The life of a generation. Everybody died except for two people. And the crazy thing is, those two people, well into their old age, when they crossed over, were like, we're still ready to take the land. We're still ready. So a generation died. That's costly. I want you to think about that. I think we right now sit on a chance. I really do feel like we sit in a place where many can come to know Jesus right now. But I really also believe that waiting can cause people to come to know Jesus right now. I really believe that. So does this young guy. He's like, amen. A generation died off. What else was costly? Come on, church. You haven't had too much turkey yet. Stay in the desert. Absolutely. They didn't get to the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. How many know that a desert compared to a promised place, milk and honey mean it was just everything that they need was flowing there? How many would like to stay in a desert for 40 years? Anybody? No. So they chose, instead of a battle, they chose to have their circumstances. And I'm sure every day they woke up in a battle. What else? Broke out in rebellion several times. I think personally, because they were supposed to be fighting the target, instead they fought each other. How many know that sounds like the church? Right? We don't know what we're supposed to do. We should, you know, where do we put our energy? Well, let's just put our energy into maintaining and hunkering down. And because we do that, we get into fights because we're more worried about colors of chairs and carpet and wall paint and what we do than seeing unsaved people come in, those far from God. That's a good point. What else?
Delayed inheritance,
absolutely. Something that that generation could have had then, they didn't even get it. They never even got their inheritance. That is costly. What about warriors? That whole generation died off. You got a generation that they're just wandering the desert. They have to become warriors again. What else?
They ate manna for
40 years. Oh gosh, I was wondering if somebody's gonna say that. They ate the same thing for 40 years. I don't know if manna tastes like steak. But even steak for 40 years gets old. Like, I would be like, can ice cream fall tomorrow, please? Like, right. Anything else you can think of? Yeah, they never, that generation never fulfilled that destiny. Absolutely, that's good.
Complacency.
Yeah, they lived in complacency. You gotta wonder, you know, it's interesting. At one point they're like, let's just get a new leader so we can go back to Egypt and die. I'm like, wouldn't you rather try to go for the land and die? Like do something than just go back to Egypt and die. It's funny how, right, when we're in a tough situation, the thing that we wanted to get out of starts looking good again. Isn't that interesting? I've watched that with marriages. I've watched that with so many different things. I'm like, no, you came to me to get out of that situation. Why do you want to go back to that situation? Well, you know, I'm comfortable there. I know it. I've lived it. I'm just aware of it. One more and then we'll move on. Anything else you can think of? Moses never got to enter in. Good point. The leader with the dream, and you could imagine his frustration level. Can you imagine being the leader, knowing what's in front of you and never getting to experience it? Absolutely. So why am I saying all this on Thanksgiving? Like I said, it's not really a Thanksgiving message. I feel like I see before us opportunity. I believe for each of us, I was just thinking of different things. I was thinking of young people, how we live in a day and age where putting things off becomes normal. And I feel like young people in here, putting things off could cost you possibly the one that comes into your life that would be ready to marry, but you're not ready to marry because you didn't prepare. I feel like this is taking it to a level. I feel like ministries are, like the men's ministry are, things are being birthed, and I believe people can miss out, and it could be costly because, well, I'm afraid to maybe step into leadership. I'm afraid, you know, I don't know if I really want to. Listen, I go through this often. Lord, do I want to try again? Do I want to step in again? Do I want to hope again? And today, as I sat before the Lord, I'm like, as hard as that is to think through, because I've been around the mountain a few times, he was saying, how much more costly is it going to be if you don't, though? Because I got kids. See, here's one of the things. I believe we were robbed of a youth generation. As I'm getting ready, the men's ministry is really big on my heart. I'm so thankful. I feel like I said, things are being launched. But I'll tell you, I cannot do this alone. I cannot do this alone. And it's going to take a multitude of people to come alongside and go, I am ready to go. Scared out of my mind, but I'll sign up. And as I've been watching these videos that are like the dream I had with that we did with camp, and you went to all of them. You know, my parents were faithful. They didn't ever want to miss it. So they would come up and be up there with the youth camp. We did crazy games and competitions. And then at night we'd have services and God would fall and these kids would get touched. And, you know, I remember ministering to Josh before Josh was ever at our church, Karen, and meeting Josh and praying over him. And I remember thinking, I can't wait till my kids get here. My kids were with us. They were like wee little things. And they would, you know, people would help us out. And I'm like, one day my kids are going to be doing this. I can't wait. My kids missed out on that. I'm like, we got robbed. We got robbed. Not we, as in like a whole group of people got robbed. And I'm like, Lord, not this time. So right now, we don't have literally any high school students in here. We've been robbed. But I'm thinking, I want a harvest. I want Thanksgiving to be a harvest a couple years from now. And not just a few. I dream of these young people experiencing God like we got to be a part of seeing them experience God. I want to be up here going, man, did you see what happened with the young people? I also want to be up here going, did you see how many men came to the Lord? As I was watching this video of the camp, because this man's camp looked a whole lot like youth camp, but just with men, which I loved. I'm like, we get to do this? Like, we could do a camp that was just like youth camp, but with grown men? And it's a quick-moving video. It's some camp. I just found it on YouTube. But there's a moment, I've watched it three times, and every time there's a moment where this older man, tattoos, he comes out of the water of baptism, and he's like, thank you, God. I'm like, I want that. Because you could tell this is a rough dude. This is a rough guy that probably just came to know Jesus. Don't you want that, man? Like last night, Friday night, it was amazing sitting around and guests, you know, opening up about, hey, I had a dad and he was an alcoholic and this is what it did in my marriage. I'm like, this is what the young people need to hear so they don't walk the same path. So here's my point, time that I have left. I feel like it's starting. I really do. I'm not looking at what I just see. Now, of course, Friday was a moment to go, look. Like, we were packed into that, the whole foyer. I was aiming for 40. We had 30. I'm like, this is cool. And then the last 2 days, we had another 20 register. My God, this is amazing. 50 men. But I'm seeing other things too. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to wait because it could cost us. But I can't do it alone, and nor can you. And so we have to corporately decide so it doesn't cost us and the ones that we know in this world. You hear what I'm saying? It's like when you come into worship, as a worshiper leading worship, I know what it costs us when you decide not to worship. And each of us come in going, do I want to worship today? I'm tired. Like, my legs are sore. You know what that can cost us? And you say, what does that cost us? I know you may not understand, but there is something different between an individual moment of worship and a corporate moment of worship. How many have ever experienced a corporate worship? Okay, I love both sides, but I'm telling you, you want to watch a really cool moment. Last year at Passion 2024, it was this past January they do it. You know, Passion's a little more of I wouldn't say a mainline, but you know, they're not always charismatic, but they're powerful in the word that they bring. But they had a moment at Passion where they started to sing a song, a cappella, I believe, even they started. And I'm trying to remember the name. It was a simple song, Hallelujah, that one. And they ended up on their knees and they sang it for 20 minutes with young people a cappella, rising and falling. And they still, kids are talking about that moment. There's something about corporate worship together. And here's the thing. It's costly when we choose not to go there because we're being run by our flesh. So when you come in and you make that decision to go, you know what, whether I feel like it or not, I am going to thank God for all that he's doing. That opens the door for others to come in, into worship, okay? So it's costly when we don't. It could cost somebody else the moment that God was planning for them. You're like, do I have a part in that? Absolutely. It's just as much as when you feel that unction to share with someone, and you choose not to. Now, I'm not trying to guilt trip. I've done that many times. I'm like, I don't really want to share right now. I'm in a bit of a rush. But when you do, and they receive hope, you know, not doing it could have cost you something. Doing it, it cost you maybe a few minutes of your time, but you could have changed their life. That's right. So I want to encourage us as we move forward. I'm looking, you know, we're going to have Thanksgiving. Maybe you already have. And I hope you sit down and you thank the Lord for all that he's done in your life. He's done a lot of things. There are challenges, but he's done a lot of things. We live in a beautiful nation. But I'm looking for another harvest. And I'm looking for a people, men and women, young and old, that'll say, you know what? I know it's going to cost me something to step up. It's going to cost me courage. It's going to cost me time. Maybe I have to put away some of the things that I talked to the men about. We've really become a selfish nation. We've become selfish people in a nation where a lot of times we're just looking to see where we can have our next fun. I've been guilty of it over the last 4 years. I can't tell you how many times I've contemplated doing another life because it would be easier. Just being real. And some of the things I could make a decent amount of money, I could do on another island. Like with sun all the time. And that sounds really good, but what is it gonna cost me? Or what is that decision gonna cost others? Because it's a selfish decision. And Phyllis, one of my counselors that I turned to, I remember over and over again, she said, well, I understand. But has Jesus called you out of the ministry? Phyllis, I don't like that. You wanna hear a cool miracle? Rob and Phyllis, you guys have never met them. One day, I hope you do. They're just great, great couple. And they last year bought a place in Punta Gorda, near, anyway, it was like direct hit from that hurricane. It's like a trailer park, like it's a nice trailer park. And so I texted her before, I said, so, you know, what are you guys doing? She's like, well, we're in Petoskey, there's nothing we can do here, so we're praying. I'm like, okay. So I waited a little bit after and I texted her. She's like, I still don't know. We have no, there's no power there. Nobody's able to get into the park. Like, it was a direct hit. She texts me about an hour later. She says, you're not gonna believe this. Our park, she says, I know our house was completely spared. And she said, I'm pretty sure the whole park was completely spared. Like completely, she says, it is a bona fide miracle because it's, you know, they're not that strong of structures or anything like that. She said, a couple branches down. I'm like, that's incredible. Power of prayer. I bet they're having some Thanksgiving. No, they're not yet. They're having a different Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. So going back to my point, what does it cost people if I don't say yes? I really want you on this Thanksgiving to take some time to go, what am I saying no to right now that I should be saying yes to? Because it's gonna cost if I say no. 40 years wandering. I don't wanna go another year wandering. Anybody else? Thank you, Dave, for honesty. I don't wanna go another year. I'm like 50 men. I'm like, Lord, you got me dreaming again. I'm dreaming of man camp. I'm like, there's something inside of me that'd be like, I would love to take 100 men somewhere out of all the hustle and bustle and do 2 days with men and see God break open in their life.
What could we build in 2 days?
I'd like to see other generations rise up because the reality is I cannot do this all, but I have a burning passion to see it happen. But I'm thinking, Lord, who's gonna rise up to make the youth generation come alive again? Who's that gonna be? Got Karen rising up for the women. It's awesome. We got worship teams that come in every Sunday and you guys serve faithfully. We're not talking about that, but I'm talking about the next. God is saying there's a next right now, and are we willing to step up? Amen? Because I would rather not spend $5.2 million if I could spend $1.6 million. Amen? I have a prophetic word I hold on to. Why don't you stand while I'm saying this? I have a prophetic word I hold on to. Of Gary Osborne, actually, and David Page. It wasn't, Gary Osborne called me with it, but he said, Gary Osborne from Whitehorse, Dave Page is Claude's son, who's at Indiana, Lafayette. And Gary Osborne woke up one day with a dream, and he called me right away, and he said, I had a dream that Dave and I were weeping together because you called us and told us you had been given property to be able to do camps on. Had a dirt road and you were able to do camps on it. I have held on to that. Probably, I have a lot of prophetic words I hold on to, but I always go back to that one. I'm like, Lord, I don't see that property yet. I think I know it, possibly, but it's not in my pocket yet. But I'm like, Lord, we don't want to keep waiting. Right? Anybody else saying no more waiting? And I want to encourage you in your own life to go, if I keep waiting on this, like if you keep waiting and making this decision, maybe for you it's to pursue God. If you keep waiting, what's it gonna cost you? What's it gonna cost your kids if you don't say yes to going after God? Because sometimes it could cost their kids. I wrote down one of the things I didn't say. Some people have like, I gotta have that conversation with my son, I need to, and time or embarrassment, whatever keeps you from doing it, you don't do it, and then it costs you something greater. It's like, Lord, we have to learn to hear your voice and not delay. Amen? So Father God, I thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend. Lord, I thank you that you are saying that there's a harvest if we will arise. And Lord, I say yes. Lord, we want to fulfill all that you've called for us to do on this, in this house. But Lord, for each of us, I pray we'd spend some time and ask where we've been delaying, where we've been waiting. Lord, even if you want to show us what it's already cost us so we don't delay any longer. And Lord, I pray that every person in here, young and old, male and female, would say yes to what you're asking them to. We ask you to help us lower those decisions. Lord, I pray as we go and celebrate, if we still have celebrations left, I pray, Father God, that our hearts would be so grateful for all that you've done. And Lord, I pray that the joy that we carry would come alive so others could be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.